Episode 23 of IBC Podcast.
Welcome to the Integrated Bilingual Counseling Podcast, where you will learn topics related to your well-being, emotions, marriage, relationships, parenting, immigration, and more. And now your host, Jose Villafuerte, and co-host, Myra Aguirre.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing? I'm hoping that you guys are doing okay. I'm Jose Villafuerte, the host of this your weekly podcast show. Unfortunately, Myra won't be here with us, but I have a special guest that I've invited for this particular episode, which is very important for me because it's part of my profession as a psychotherapist. And the topic of today is demystifying the stigma of mental health. And here I'm accompanied by Cesar Villarreal, who's going to talk to us about this topic. So how are you, Cesar?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. My pleasure, man. And thank you very much for taking the time to do this
episode. Happy to do it.
Thank you. And I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to our audience. Go ahead.
Thanks. Well, my name is Cesar. I'm currently a doctoral student at the University of North Texas. And I am I'll soon complete my doctoral degree in clinical psychology. So I'm currently doing my internship at Yale University, working primarily with the Hispanic population and doing work primarily in Spanish. And I'm from Mexico, and I completed most of my college and graduate education in Texas.
That's right. That's right. And he's about to graduate, my friend, with
almost.
Almost, right? when is it?
Should be this summer, sometime this summer.
Amazing, amazing. And he's going to invite us all for his celebration.
Yes, right. we shall see about that.
Well, at least he's going to invite Integrated Bilingual Counseling.
At least you guys. Sorry, listeners.
We'll see, my friends. And I'm hoping that you guys enjoy this episode because I think that we're going to bring a lot of light into what's happening around mental health. So I want to start by giving a brief definition of stigma. So I've been looking into several dictionaries, and just to give you a definition of this, it says, a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person. What do you think of that, Cesar?
Yeah, it sounds very, very accurate. Again, with that word disgrace, it sounds dramatic, but at the same time, it makes sense. Stigma just is something that comes from basically ideas of discrimination and prejudice about a certain situation, about a certain group of people, or even talking about mental health as well. And these ideas and that are based on prejudice are often harmful in a way. They create stigma, which affects people externally and internally as well. And so I think generally, the way people experience it is by some form of discrimination towards them, towards someone they know, or just societal ideas about a specific topic. Let's say, for instance, we're talking about Latinos, a lot of our listeners, all the negative ideas that have been out there regarding our community, specific countries, specific people, and listening to that is hurtful. And knowing that people think that way is hurtful. And so some folks, unfortunately, might even internalize those thoughts to themselves and begin to think these things about themselves or their culture. And so that is just one example. We can talk about depression, how people with or any other mental health issue, how people may perceive mental health as signs of weakness or in other negative lights, and how that may deter people from actually seeking services.
I was going to say that because if you're internalizing those thoughts, that might limit your ability to seek out services involving mental health, right?
Right, right. And it keeps people from not even just regarding the services, but opening up about their experiences. And that's when people might start hiding the way they feel,
right?
Things about their identity, issues that they may go through, and that's just a very heavy burden for everyone.
It is. It is. Now, when we associate this word stigma with mental health or mental illnesses, it becomes even worse, like you said. You gave us already several examples, but can you give us a definition of mental illness? How should we see that?
I think that it's a difficult question because it's seen as many different things by many different people. I think, in my opinion, mental health or mental illness, I think about it in terms of a spectrum. And coincidentally, a lot of disorders are now being classified more as spectrums as well. But we all have this range of emotions, range of feelings that we experience, that we go through. And fortunately, some people may have a different type of range, may experience different type of emotions, may have perhaps more emotions in their range, perhaps more feelings. Other people go through situations in life that make certain shifts in this spectrum. And so an example I like to give is anyone can feel depressed. Anyone can feel anxious. Talk about grad students, you know. Anyone can have that experience depending on a specific situation they go through. Where it becomes a difference, where it becomes more of a burden, is when people have difficulty returning to a more stable state in their lives and have difficulty dealing with these symptoms. And so these persist over time and they start affecting different areas of their life. And that is the caveat here, something that most of the disorders that we understand now have that sort of aspect. They need to be affecting them in specific areas of their life, or different ones at least, their work, their families, their interpersonal relationships.
Employment, yes.
Employment, you know, finances, ability to form relationships, mm-hmm. get jobs, et cetera.
Right. And something that you mentioned that was important is that you were referring to grad students, you know.
Right.
And I bet that some of those grad students might experience depression and anxiety because of the amount of work that you guys have to do.
Right. And I think that is true for, yes. And I think that's also true for a lot of professionals as well. Early career professionals, late career professionals, parents, you know, think about early, like first-time parents and how it's anxiety provoking to have a child, to take care of a child. And we can even talk about postpartum depression and how it's very common. It's a very common occurrence, brief in a way for a lot of people, thankfully. But there's a series of events or situations that sort of corner us into feeling a certain way sometimes. And if we have issues dealing with that after a long period of time, then that sort of snowballs into a bigger problem.
Which leads me to think that everybody, all of us, are vulnerable to specific mental health condition at any point in our lives.
Right. I mean, we can also discuss the issue of biology and genetics. Obviously, those are important factors as well. There are predispositions that we all may have, or some people may have. Talking about genetics and biology, you know, there's a lot of evidence out there, a lot of twin studies and family studies, parents and siblings and all that, with different disorders and how there's associations between having a disorder, if it's more likely, if, let's say, someone in your family has had a disorder as well. And so there are linkages like that with genetics and biology. Of course, we know neurotransmitters in the brain and how different types of issues with that can create different disorders. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone will develop some sort of illness or disorder. Those can be predisposing factors. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, the events we were talking about earlier, they can be just those precipitating factors that push people over that line, whether they have genetic factors or not. Mm-hmm. Anyone can be pushed over that line. A very common example is, let's say, post-traumatic stress disorder. People all of a sudden experience this traumatic event that is really hard to deal with and starts affecting them in many, many different ways. And so we are all vulnerable in a way to have some mental health issues at some point in our lives, whether they become disorders or they are diagnosed or not. That's different.
That's a different question. Mm-hmm. That's right. And here we're talking about what causes mental illnesses. And I think that Cesar is referring to the biological perspective of what could cause a mental illness. And is that somebody can have a predisposition to be mentally ill, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that individual is going to develop that condition, right?
Right.
And you don't actually need to have the predisposition to a mental illness, because you can go through a social situation, is something that is traumatic to you, and therefore you develop what he was referring to, like PTSD.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And society is just such an important part of everyone's experience in one way or another. And that also ties back to that issue of stigma and discrimination. And people who have different issues getting closer to getting help because of the stigma, and even experiencing some of these disorders themselves due to the stigma and discrimination. Talking about, for instance, racial ethnic minorities and how discrimination can sometimes be brutal and tough. And whether they experience it firsthand or by someone they know. And that in itself can create or can lead to a more depressed state and eventually snowball into something more significant. And so it's just an issue in many ways and a very relevant issue that we're all dealing with and very currently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that we need to create awareness of that. In creating awareness, the next question that I have for you is, how do we help people to demystify from this stigma and actually get them to get services? When we did the same recording on episode 27 about the same topic, Cesar presented some numbers around couples, and you were telling us that couples actually wait an average of 7 years for them to get psychotherapy services. 7 years. So going back to my question, how do we help people?
I think having, first of all, an open conversation, whatever that means for you, is important. Opening up to a friend, to a family member, to a teacher, to a coworker, or even just opening up to yourself. Those are very important things that we need to go through. Seeking information, getting educated and learning and looking at others' experiences. A lot of people have told me how sometimes just a YouTube video of someone explaining what they went through in terms of mental health was helpful. And so knowing that help is out there, it's just really hard to get to you if you don't open up and let it in. And so that is just one of the first steps. And you were talking about a little bit earlier about this issue of awareness. Creating awareness and issues with advocacy are really important. If we have family, if we have friends who are going through a tough time or someone in our lives, or if we have any sort of platform to pass information to others, creating awareness and creating advocating for those who may not have a voice at this time, and starting to get rid of all those judgments that may be within us. Those are just important steps that we need to take. Having more empathy for others. If we're not necessarily going through a tough time, having empathy for others, you don't know what's happening in their lives. And if you, I was saying in episode 27, part of our Latino culture, and whether it's Ecuador or Mexico or any other country, it's a very common occurrence to be, like I said earlier, to be sort of like maintain sort of things separate and not admit that we have issues, not seek help. And so, you know, that keeps us a little bit away from all this. So trying to break through that barrier and seek services, seek help, talk to someone. Anything you can do that's a little bit different from not doing anything, that in itself will be really helpful.
That is true, because I think it comes from you to begin with, and then you can expand to your family. But sometimes you're going to face some barriers with your family, especially if the family has a stigma regarding mental health. But like you said, you know, if you start with yourself, getting educated, trying to get as much information as possible, then that might be the way to begin with.
Yes, and education, seeking help, maybe finding options that could work for you. There's a lot of options. People think it's just about going to a therapist one-on-one and that's it. That's not true. There's couples therapy, there's family therapy, there's support groups, there are educational groups. There's all kinds of advocacy groups out there. And so I think, and even like I said, if you are still very hesitant about all of this, even finding those stories, that success stories of people going through issues and overcoming them can be really helpful for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are a lot of success stories out there. Anybody, like we said before, anybody's vulnerable to a mental illness. Just think about mental illnesses as any medical condition such as hypertension, cholesterol, diabetes, because that's what it is. And before you were giving us some numbers, some stats about Latinos in mental health. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, just like you're saying, sometimes it's seen as this whole different world, mental health issues. And if our leg hurts, we go to the doctor. If we have a headache, we take a pill. If our back hurts, people get a massage. We find ways to feel better. And yet, there's still a lot of things keeping us away from seeking help for our mental health. And it's like you said earlier, that statistic of a couple, 7 years before they actually seek help, that seems, it's a long time. It's a long time. A lot could happen. And why is it taking people so, you know, it's an average, but why is it taking people so long to make that decision and to take that step when the help is out there? Same for individuals. I know that Latinos are less likely to seek help than voluntarily seek help than non-Latino groups or non-Hispanic groups. And when they actually do, it's basically when the condition has become so severe or chronic that there is really not a whole lot of options left. Mm-hmm. And so again, why let things get to that point where they're so unbearable and so critical that there are no other options when things can be taken care of earlier? Again, linking it to physical health. If you have signs of illness, if you feel weird, if your stomach hurts and it persists over time, eventually people
go to the doctor.
Some people take longer than others. Everyone has a different experience, but everyone will eventually try to do something about it. And so the issue there is the longer you take, the more likely it is that if it's a serious condition, it could develop and it could get worse, right? Mm-hmm. That's just our understanding of illness. Same thing with mental health. If we let sometimes things that make us feel sad or anxious or nervous or uneasy mentally, if we just let them brew within ourselves and don't do anything about them, sometimes they can just get really worse.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Now, do you have any ideas as to why Latinos take longer than other cultures?
Yeah, I think going back to that whole discrimination and stigma, there's a lot of factors that affect different minority groups in different ways. And so Latinos, for example, of course, this will vary from family to family, from group to group, from country to country. But in a way, our culture, as the culture of many other minority groups are, we're a bit more collectivistic in nature. So we tend to, for instance, run decisions thinking about our families or keeping our families in mind. I know I do. Every time if I'm deciding whether I'm going to apply for a job in this city versus this other state versus closer to my family, it's like that decision is based on
your family.
I keep them in mind. And sometimes that in itself can be also a way that keeps people away. If I go see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist, it's almost like I'm thinking, what is my family going to say? And if we anticipate that not being welcomed, then that can potentially keep us away. Versus a non-Latino mainstream culture where it's a bit more individualistic in nature. So I think maybe that could account for some of those differences mm-hmm. into why it takes us a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. So if we think in terms of family, we might not want to disclose what we're going through because, again, we don't want to, I don't know, hurt our families.
And that involves, like you said, either hurting our families or getting them involved somehow in our experience or even just admitting that there's a problem.
Right.
In episode 27, I was talking a little bit about the experience, let's say, of people who identify with different minority groups. Let's say, talking about someone who is part of who identifies as Latino or any other racial ethnic minority. And then on top of that, identifies with another minority status, such as regarding their sexual identity, because of a disability, folks who identify as transgender, or any other medical illness, and how these things can sometimes stack up. These minority statuses can stack up. And we're talking about issues of intersectionality and how that is just even worse for some people, having just hits from different directions. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes make situations much worse a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. For instance, depression, anxiety, and any other disorder like that. Yeah. And it opens the door for more negative to come in.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. And yeah, that would be like a double stigma kind of thing.
Yeah, it becomes I think there's a lot of statistics out there, people who have more of this situation, so are part of different minority groups, even just one. But the more there is, people who are part of minority groups tend to have more incidents of violence in their lives. They're more prone to experience a traumatic event. Sometimes there's more poverty, more homelessness, and more mental health issues. And so the more you add, the more likely these things can occur, or at least it opens the door for other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to keep that in mind when we think about the issue of stigma, how we approach people who we see as different. We don't know what people are going through, and sometimes we bring our own assumptions with us. Mm-hmm. We'll make a joke about someone not really having a bad intention, but that can actually be pretty hurtful, and we're maintaining these stereotypes alive. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that's another important step for people to take, just to create more conscience about what's happening and be more aware and empathic of others. Mm-hmm. Yes. It can be a really important step.
I agree with you. We have to be more empathic with others. And by empathy is just putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. So if somebody that is struggling with mental illnesses, depression, anxiety, then try to use empathy. Try to put yourself in that individual's shoes and have a feel of what that person is going through. Now, to end this episode, Cesar, what would you say are the most common mental conditions, at least here in the U.S.?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, it will really vary depending on location, socioeconomic status, and a lot of other different factors. But I think generally, we see a lot of depression and different disorders related to depression. We see a lot of anxiety, different disorders related to anxiety. Something I didn't mention before, we see a lot of substance abuse. And we're having a lot of exposure towards PTSD and how, or at least adjustment issues when it comes to experiencing traumatic events. And so those are things that are very common, and unfortunately, very commonly, they are comorbid. So they happen at the same time. And sometimes one leads to the other. And so, of course, there's many, many other issues that could happen with someone, but these are kind of the ones that are a bit more prevalent, correct, at least in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Any final recommendations to our audience?
Yeah, just as I was saying before, just try to, if you're going through a difficult time, surround yourself with positive information, learn about the things that you are able to, and surround yourself with positive people that you think could help you. Ask questions, be open to change, and remember that sometimes the stigma has nothing to do with you. It's about society and how the things that society just sort of like the prejudices that exist and they're being perpetuated. And so take that a little bit outside of yourself and to feel better. And for those who are listening who are not experiencing something but have someone they know going through a rough time, you know, listen, open your mind, try to have a judgment-free attitude, try to put yourself in that person's shoes, get educated about what they're going through so you can understand it as well. And challenge that stigma, challenge those things that people say. When you hear a comment that you think it could hurt someone, even if they're not there, it could still be, we're still perpetuating the overall issue. So advocate for those who don't have a voice, whether they're not there or can't express it. And so just general thoughts for everyone to have.
Excellent recommendations, Cesar. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this podcast episode. And I'm hoping that our audience actually appreciates and takes note about what's been discussed here. And Cesar, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And whoever's listening, I hope that if you know someone going through a rough time, just try to approach them, try to do your best. And if you're the one going through a difficult time, you know, reach out. Get information about how you can get help. If you're in the area, call for help and at least to do a little bit of research. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking. So I hope it helps anyone open up their minds about seeking services.
That's right. Seeking services is one of the options. And if you happen to be here in the state of Connecticut, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and dial 844-912-9832. You can visit our website for psychotherapy services at www.integratedbilingualcounseling.com. If you want to know more about the show, you can do that at www.ibcpodcast.com. Thank you very much, Cesar.
Thanks for having me.
And this is it for today. See ya.
Thanks for listening to IBC Podcast at www.ibcpodcast.com. Regarding the subject covered in this episode, it was provided with the understanding that neither the host, co-host, or guest are rendering legal and clinical or other professional information pertinent to your specific case. If you feel you're in the need of support or services, don't hesitate to look for help.